So then when is it effective? Well, it went into effect in January this year, but it did not, it cannot be enforced until July of this year, which I will tell you the AG's final regulations still have not been approved by the Office of Administration in California, because they got a furlough because of COVID and got some extensions. So we're operating kind of, Wendy knows this, flying on what are supposed to be finalized regulations, but enforcement can happen at any time now. And it was mentioned in the earlier presentation, there's already been some actions. There's definitely been requests, and there's definitely been some complaints that have been made. And Wendy, what have you seen as far as consumer requests under CCPA since they could make them as of January?
Yeah, so I think what I saw was the second we posted the updated privacy notice, they began, right? And our posting happened a little bit before effective date. So it was, there was that run-up period. And in that post period, obviously this depends on the kind of business that you run. If you are heavily into data sales, if you are heavily into certain types of activities, that's going to drive the nature of your requests. By and large, what I've seen are the do not sell requests. And I think part of that is it speaks to probably the most annoying part of daily life, having your data sold and transacted on, that impacts you on a regular basis. You may be being contacted by people. You don't know how they got your information. So that is a very meaningful right for consumers, and it's very simple to execute on. So it's low-hanging fruit from a consumer rights perspective. I also think that the novelty of all of this is driving a lot of consumers' expectations and how they're exercising their rights. They really, you know, unlike the EU, where there is this history and culture of privacy that was strengthened with the GDPR, in the US, this is somewhat of a new construct from not at necessarily at the state level, but to this extreme is somewhat of a new construct. And consumers are really testing those boundaries.
Absolutely. And one of the things to think through is where you fit, right? Consumers, because you're getting requests, right, Wendy, from consumers, right, that may or may not actually be in California. I know that's what I've been dealing with too, with some clients are trying to figure out what to do when you get a request from somebody in Washington who says, I want you not to sell my information.
Right. And the other thing is really helping people wrap their minds around that this is not a unilateral right, that there are exceptions. So for instance, you know, one of the common things that will happen is somebody who you have an ongoing relationship with, you may have warranty obligations to them, you may have product safety obligations to them. You have any number of things that don't understand why you can't get rid of their data. And so it's somewhat of an educative process because you have to help the consumers get there with you and act in a certain capacity as a resource to help them understand really what's on the table for them.
Right. And then one of the things here is, right, where you fit in these buckets. You're either going to be under CCPA, if it applies, you're either going to be a business, a service provider, or a third party. And that, right, aren't service providers businesses? But that's the way the CCPA has decided to define these things. And one way to look at that is what activity is really about where your activities are. Right? The things that are covered are collecting, and access may be enough. You don't have to actually take it in and store it. It's if you have access to it, that information is considered personal information under CCPA that you may either be a business, service provider, or third party for. And then sale, we keep talking about sale. We want to clarify, we're not talking about just money. That is a Nevada thing. We'll talk about that a little bit later. This is provision of another for monetary or other valuable consideration, which I deal a lot with consumer-facing companies, and they have sponsorships. And so those sponsorships where money's being paid in exchange, not just, but partly for access to these consumers, access to these fans, that is considered a sale under CCPA, depending on how it happens. I won't say carte blanche, but depending on how it happens, that would be considered a sale under CCPA. And then there's disclosure that's covered, right? Providing that personal information can also trigger some rights under CCPA and things that you have to do, except to a service provider. That's a big exception. If you're giving the information to a service provider, besides providing notice, all those other things about opting out, and they don't necessarily apply. And so then what's protected? We talked about this a little bit briefly already. It's personal information, but one thing we want to highlight here is it's not only broad, but it's households. So this is not just an individual consumer. This applies to a household. Now, does that mean everybody in one apartment building? Because what does household mean? That was what the original text of the law said, and it was read that way. And they've tried to clarify that with amendments and now with the regulations, that what they're talking about is actually dwelling in the same unit. So if a house, if information is collected about a household, that household can make a request. And there's all kinds of things we can talk about later about how to do that. But that's new. That's not something that existed, not even under GDPR, that exists under CCPA.
And that's a critical piece to understand, because you may get an individual that has a joint owner on an account or an authorized representative. Just because those constructs exist, that doesn't mean that the right exercise is happening for the household. So again, when building out your processes, it's really important to understand the nuances of the law to say, okay, what specifically triggers a household request versus an individual request? How does that workflow work out? What type of notice am I giving to other impacted individuals that may not be the requesters, so that they're aware that this is happening and that you're taking action on their behalf as a household?